You're listening to Consider This, episode 229, for October 1st, 2018.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, welcome back, or just welcome, to my little corner of the podcast universe. This is Consider This, and I'm Doug Payton, welcoming you to my home of conservative commentary in 10 minutes or less. If you want to get your views heard on this show, you're welcome to do it. Just point the web browser of your choice at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. And you can see how to email me, call me, or contact me on social media. That's CT as in cutting taxes. So why is the economy doing so well? Is that Obama's doing, or can Trump take some credit? I'll look at that question, as well as the story of how a young man grew up. That's coming up right now. The good economic news in the past 18 months has been downplayed by politicians and pundits on the left. They simply don't want to consider that Trump's policies of deregulation and tax cuts might actually be working. It's not as good as you think, so the argument goes. But if it is, it's not Trump who did it, it's Obama's economy. And President Obama himself has been out claiming credit for this economy, so it can't be all that bad. Now, normally I would agree with this. The economy is a big ship, and it doesn't turn on a dime. So the policies of the outgoing president are part of the equation at the beginning of an incoming president's term. For how long that goes is beyond my pay grade. That's better left to the professionals. And speaking of professional economists, that's exactly who came out to the press recently to make the case that the economy is doing well. Kevin Hassert, chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, certainly qualifies, and he brought out some charts to show what he calls inflection points. Clear changes in the trend lines of various economic indicators, either from negative to positive or from positive to even more positive. The video of his presentation and screenshots of the various charts are in a link at the show notes, but I really suggest you watch the video. When you do, if you look at the charts, you'll see something very interesting. Whenever any of the indicators that he highlighted takes a clear upward change of direction, it does so at the time of the election. Trump had not even warmed the big chair in the Oval Office. How could he have possibly affected the economy? Well, I'll tell you. He affected it the same way he affected illegal immigration. Back in episode 175, I talked about how the Border Patrol was seeing a massive drop in illegal crossings in April of 2017. Trump had just been warming that seat for 3 months with no immigration legislation passed. What happened was that potential illegals thought that Trump meant what he said on the campaign trail about enforcing them, and they acted accordingly. Of course, these days, the numbers are back up higher than before because Democrats kept Trump from keeping much of those promises. It's interesting how people supposedly desperate to come here to escape bad conditions in their native land seem to all of a sudden decide that Mexico's just fine. Anyway, that same effect is what happened in the business world. Corporations started expanding and spending on capital improvements, more new businesses were started, orders and shipments surged, and blue-collar jobs grew the fastest since 1994, and it started with the election of a man who campaigned on a pro-business platform. And businesses responded by hiring and expanding. Now, Trump has gone ahead and kept his promises by repatriating a lot of that cash that was kept offshore to avoid taxes, and by implementing a program of reducing regulations, and by a corporate tax cut. And each of these programs is designed to keep that economic engine roaring. As a result, minority unemployment is the lowest in a very long time, wages are on the rise, and we've saved $1.3 billion from reducing regulations this year, so far. When asked about this, President Trump was heard to say,
"What can I say except you're welcome?"
But in the meantime, Democrats are busy both talking down the economy and at the same time crediting Obama for it. Pick one, fellas. In the meantime, the country is busy getting it done. K. Cameron Caskey, is one of the survivors of the Parkland school shooting. In the aftermath, he was one of the outspoken students speaking for gun control and against the NRA. If you watched the live CNN Town Hall special, which featured several Parkland students and Florida Senator Marco Rubio, he's the one that asked the senator, quote, "Can you tell me right now that you will not accept a single donation from the NRA in the future?" Close quote. He referred to President Trump as a professional liar. He also challenged another Parkland survivor, Kyle Kashev, to a one-on-one debate on the gun issue. Kashev, who is a conservative and Second Amendment supporter, accepted, but Caskey later backed out. That was then. This is now. In an interview on Fox News Radio, this co-founder of March for Our Lives said he regrets some of the things he's said and done since being in the national spotlight as a high school junior.
You know, I'm very regretful of a lot of mistakes that I've made along the way. And one of the things I never really did was watch myself. If I was on a screen, I kind of tried to run away from it. I'm not entirely sure why. But looking back on that, you know, it's like you said, you touched up on this very well in the intro. I'm not going to kick myself for it because I had, you know, I'm 17. And despite the fact that I thought I did at the time, it turns out I don't know everything. But I look back on that and I say, you know what? There were people who had just been buried. And when you're looking at somebody that you find might in some way be complicit in this murderer obtaining the weapon, it's hard not to say something like that. But I went into that wanting less conversation and more to embarrass Rubio. And that was my biggest flaw. That was the biggest problem with my prerogative, was I was going in to jab at somebody when I could have gone in and said, what can we do here?
I don't think Cameron Caskey has flipped his views 180 degrees, but at least he has come to the realization that yelling at someone doesn't change any minds, and that you have to have actual conversation if we're going to solve anything. Eric Erickson wrote an article about this, linked to in the show notes, and he titled it, "This is what growing up looks like." Absolutely. Oh, and this is also what losing media attention looks like as well. I think some of the folks making noise the past couple of weeks surrounding the Kavanaugh appointment could learn from Cameron Caskey. The assumptions that uncorroborated and actually denied accusations must be true, and the Olympic conclusion jumping on display on the Democrat side of the aisle has been incredible. It seems that for them, the quaint old notion of the presumption of innocence until anything is proven has fallen by the wayside. So what noise do you want to make? I want to hear you right here, and I think this audience would like to hear you too. You can email me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com, hit the website considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, or call 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280. Get in touch and get heard here. Come on and make some noise. If we hear what you have to say, then we can consider this.